Russ Davis. Join me for Jazz America right after the latest news on VOA 1.
I'm Steve Norman reporting. French media report the data recorders found in the wreckage of a Russian passenger jet in the Sinai show a bomb brought down the plane last week, killing all 224 who were on board. A French news agency source says, according to investigators, the so-called black boxes show everything was normal aboard the Russian Metrojet. Then 24 minutes into the flight, suddenly there was nothing, with one of the boxes registering a loud sound and a violent sudden end, strongly indicating that a bomb went off. Islamic State militants are claiming responsibility. The U.S. moved Friday to boost security at airports in the Middle East where passenger and cargo flights take off for the United States, even as investigators are probing that attack or whatever might have brought down the Russian jetliner. Homeland Security Chief Jay Johnson made the announcement. Later, White House spokesman Josh Earnest was asked about the security plan.
This is just a prudent response and the exercise of an abundance of caution. Based on information that has been learned about this possible terrorist attack in the Sinai Peninsula. And so this is just a series of steps that the Secretary of Homeland Security believes should be taken out of an abundance of caution based on what we know about what might have happened aboard that Metrojet flight 9268.
White House spokesman Josh Earnest said the expanded security procedures will take place at fewer than 10 airports in the region where the Russian jetliner was downed a week ago. Get more news at voanews.com. This is VOA News. The Global Chemical Weapons Watchdog says it has confirmed with utmost confidence that mustard gas was used during an attack on a town in northern Syria in August. The Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons said Friday that the gas killed an infant and poisoned two others. The group did not say who used the outlawed chemical, but activists and other rebel groups blame the Islamic State, which is also fighting to topple the Syrian government. United States suspected Islamic State had used mustard gas in the past. Political campaigning in Myanmar has drawn to a close ahead of a national vote that could bring to power Aung San Suu Kyi's National League for Democracy.
Even if we win 100%, we would like to make it a government of national reconciliation in order to set a good precedent for our country, that it should not be a zero-sum game of winner taking all and loser losing everything. This is not what democracy should be about.
Myanmar's President Thein Sein has again pledged to hold free and fair elections, with the result reflecting what he called the people's genuine desire. Western nations and human rights groups are calling for free, fair, and transparent elections on Sunday, and the national election be the first since 2011, when after nearly 50 years of military dictatorship, country formerly known as Burma. President Obama has rejected the controversial Keystone XL project, a plan to build an oil pipeline to transport Canadian crude oil to U.S. Gulf states. After an extensive review, Mr. Obama announced the project is not in the national interest of the United States. VOA White House correspondent Mary Alice Salinas has more.
The Keystone XL pipeline project had become a centerpiece of the debate over President Obama's environmental agenda and stated commitment to take bold action to curb climate change. With the UN summit on climate change set for Paris in December, Obama rejected construction of the oil pipeline that would have carried crude from Canada to U.S. ports along the Gulf of Mexico.
The State Department has decided that the Keystone XL pipeline would not serve the national interests of the United States. I agree with that decision.
The decision drew sharp and quick reaction from members of the Republican-led Congress who backed construction of the pipeline, saying it would create jobs, reduce oil prices, and U.S. reliance on foreign oil. Mary Alice Salinas, The White House.
Philadelphia has become the first U.S. city to become a World Heritage City, recognized for its importance to American history and democracy. Organization of World Heritage Cities gave Philadelphia the designation already held by 260 cities around the world in a vote on Friday at its General Congress in Peru. Get more news at voanews.com.
That's the latest world news from VOA. Hello again, and welcome to another edition of Jazz America here on VOA 1. This is Russ Davis, your host. And on this edition of the program, we'll investigate big band jazz and go under the talk tent at the Detroit Jazz Festival this past summer to talk to Gordon Goodwin, one of the leading figures and award winners in modern big band jazz. I certainly hope you'll enjoy the next couple of hours as we investigate the various aspects of what is, in the past and in the present, big band jazz. It's gone through an evolutionary process, as any art form does, and I think you'll really enjoy listening to the changes. Let's begin, though, with a sad note, and that is the passing of one of the great jazz vocalists, Mark Murphy. He was born in New York State, came to New York City to follow his musical dreams. He'd been inspired when he met Sammy Davis Jr. back in the 1950s and left Syracuse University after he graduated from there, came to New York and worked not only as a singer, but also as an actor and a pianist. Mark Murphy was a versatile vocalist. He sang everything from bebop and really majored on scat singing, using his voice as just another musical instrument, to singing the words of poetry, and also singing in whatever style was in vogue at that point in history. Case in point, the first of a few songs by Mark Murphy that I'll give you on this edition of Jazz America, as he took the jazz fusion era 1970s song by Herbie Hancock, the song Sly, and turned it into a modern electric swinging piece of vocal jazz. Our first remembrance of Mark Murphy, who passed away at the age of 83 just a few days ago. Here is that cut from the 1978 album Stolen Moments, Mark Murphy doing Herbie Hancock to begin this edition of VOA's Jazz America.
I want the high one, come on, ride and do it, son. Serve it, deserve it. Don't just hide and slip inside the shadow. I'm at a saddle, sneaking around. Then you bait on and fly. Hit it or miss it, either one, the only way. Check it, don't wreck it. Do it right, stay there and fight. Shadow, I'm at a saddle, sneaking around. Then you fade on and fly. The back door unannounced, smelling like a bad chick when it's bounced. Always trying to take what isn't yours, hiding it away in dusty drawers. Shake it, don't fake it, come right out and do your thing. Voiding, avoiding, can't you dig the real swing? Leave me, relieve me, back and away. Every move on the slide. Sneaking ride it or miss it. Either one, the only way to shake it. Don't rag it, do it right. Stay there and fight. Shadow, I met him. It's Adam. Sneak it around, and you fade and fly. Stealing in the back door on a spelling like a bad check when it's bounced. Always trying to take what isn't yours. Hiding it away in dusty drawers. Stealing in the back door. Spelling like a bad shape when it's found. Always trying to take what is.
Now that, in my humble estimation, just may be the perfect way to begin our edition of Jazz America that will focus on big band jazz, as we gave you Count Basie and his orchestra, one of the great big bands of all time, from 1939, the song Swingin' the Blues. Now that is the way to do this edition of Jazz America and get off on the right foot. Well, we'll give you more aspects of big band jazz as time goes on, from the classic, like what you just heard from Count Basie and his orchestra, to the modern. But let's begin with one of the gentlemen who's helping define what big band is for the 21st century. Two-time Grammy Award winner with his band, The Big Fat Band. Fat, spelled P-H-A-T, and he'll explain that in his words, under the talk tent, in front of a live studio audience at the Detroit Jazz Festival this past summer. He's Gordon Goodwin, joining us now on VOA's Jazz America. And in this portion of Gordon Goodwin's presentation, he explains how keeping continuity in the lineup of his band is important, and also how he tries to pass along some of the lessons that he's learned to younger players.
Every time one guy misses, the chemistry of the band changes. The whole organization has to adjust, and I'm interested in having like that nuance. If you saw the band and you can see we all have such camaraderie and a good time, and you can see the energy flowing throughout, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You add another guy in there, it changes that dynamic. So it's kind of a tightrope we walk, and it's helped that we've had a fairly stable personnel. We've been doing this for 15 years all of a sudden. I snap my fingers, and all of a sudden I'm saying we've been doing it for 15 years. I don't know how that happened, but here we are. And so I know what Wayne Bergeron can do as a lead trumpet player. I know what notes he really can sizzle on. There's not a lot that he can't sizzle on, you know, but there's some that are exemplary. And so that does creep into your writing. And here's the byproduct of that. So we publish our music for high school bands, and you got some high school band director who's looking at a lead trumpet part and goes, how's my kid going to play this? How can he possibly do this? And I have to say, well, I didn't write it for that kid. I wrote it for Wayne. What would you write for Wayne Bergeron? You'd write that same stuff. So, and our viewpoint is, if a high school kid gets 65% there, even if he doesn't get 100%, he's going to improve through the effort of it. So we don't dumb the charts down. We put them out as we play them, and that seems to work. So, but to answer your question, that's a big part of why any band sounds the way it does. The players, the individuals, adding up to be a total homogeneous combination of the players and the composing.
And now let's hear one of his compositions, a song entitled Why Can't We Have Nice Things, from the album Life in the Bubble, his latest with his Big Fat Band that won for them their second Grammy Award. Gordon Goodwin and the Big Fat Band on Jazz America from VOA 1.
Thank you.
This is Dave Samuels, and you're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Another great example of the variety in modern big band as Latin music goes big band in the music of Dave Samuels and the Caribbean Jazz Project with a big band version of their song originally recorded as a small group, the song Rendezvous from the album and with the group known as Afro Bop Alliance. More of our survey of big band for the 20th and 21st centuries coming up. But first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address. jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And here's a message I've received that is indicative of some of the messages I've received recently, because folks have been trying to go to the VOA website and listen to Jazz America on demand and have been unable to do that recently. There are some changes being made. And in the meantime, if you would like to hear the Jazz America program, just send me an email directly at jazzamerica@voanews.com. And I will be happy to send you a link to my own personal website at Mojo Radio, where you can hear the Jazz America show while those changes in the VOA website are occurring. And one of those messages came from Fadhan Noman, who is the vice music director, photographer, and designer of a radio station in Bandung, West Java, Indonesia. And he told me in his message he'd been listening to Jazz America for 5 years. Well, it's great to have my fellow radio professional listening to my program, and I hope you enjoy it. Fadhan Noman, and thank you so much for being in touch. Now let's get back to the music as we give you some modern big band that I discovered when I attended the Barcelona Jazz Festival in Spain in the year 2008. It's a group called the Lilibert Fortuny Electric Big Band. And here's music from their album XXL, Electric Modern Big Band, to begin this set of music here on VOA's Jazz America. We'll be right back. Back in 1958, the legendary Frank Sinatra, turning 100 years old on the 12th of December. That won't be the last time we hear some Frank Sinatra here on VOA's Jazz America. And as we give you a taste of big band from the 20th century and 21st centuries, back to back, I hope it wasn't too abrupt a change, the electric big band of the Lilibert Fortuny, electric big band of Spain, and the 1958 performance by Frank Sinatra of a song written by his old friends Jimmy Van Heusen and Sammy Kahn, Come Fly With Me, with Billy May, the great arranger and band leader, leading his big band, backing up Frank Sinatra. Hope you enjoyed that. And now I hope you'll enjoy, once again, returning to the Detroit Jazz Festival this past summer, and join me under the talk tent as we hear more of the comments of one of the great big band leaders of the day today, Gordon Goodwin, who, based in Los Angeles, has an 18-piece band he calls the Big Fat Band. They've won 20 Grammy nominations and 2 Grammy Awards. We'll hear some of their award-winning music after we hear some of his thoughts. And in this case, he tells us the story of how he named the group the Big Fat Band. And here is that story, followed by some of his music on VOA's Jazz America.
When we put the band together, we had no intention of ever doing a live gig because I thought, that's going to be such a hassle. How do you put 18 guys on an airplane? How do you book the gig? How do you get an agent? I had no idea how to do any of that. People really weren't taking our calls back then, and it was in 1999. So we thought, let's just record the record and leave it at that. But then we got a chance to do a gig here, a gig there, and then I remembered, this is what it feels like to play for people, as opposed to just playing in a recording studio where you're just kind of anonymous. That energy that comes back and forth between the audience, I go, this is what it is. So we started to do gigs. So my idea is, do I call this the Gordon Goodwin Big Band? Because people were saying big bands, ugh, what, why? Nobody likes that. Like I said, people would not take the call. So there's a friend of mine in L.A., his name's Stuart K. Robinson. He's an actor and an acting teacher. And he came up with the idea of maybe it's fat. The acronym in the hip-hop world was fairly hot and tempting. And I thought, well, fat, you know, it's kind of big, it's kind of exciting. And I was a little bit, I had some trepidation. But he said, look, if it doesn't work, change the name. Chick Corea has like 5 different bands a year and has different names. So what do you care? So we call it the Big Fat Band. So maybe to connotate that it's not your father's big band. And it's stuck for whatever reason.
And now let's hear the title cut from the 2011 release from Gordon Goodwin's Big Fat Band, the song titled That's How We Roll, on Jazz America from VOA 1. We'll be right back. 20th Century Big Band from McCoy Tyner and his big band with Passion Dance from the album The Turning Point. More big band, old and new, and Gordon Goodwin next hour.